Well, our next guest knows a lot about worms. Ryan Huffmeyer is with the National Resources Research Institute at UMD and program coordinator with Great Lakes Worm Watch. I'd like to welcome to the show this morning, Ryan.
Thank you.
Well, most people have heard about invasive species like Asian carp and zebra mussels, but not so much about invasive earthworms. Can you tell us what's the problem with earthworms?
All right. Well, the problem with earthworms, first off, there's not a native earthworm in the Great Lakes region. Every one of the earthworms that we know and love in this area have been introduced. When we go back to the last glaciation, when that came through, it would have scoured everything down to the bedrock, and anything that would have been there would have been lost. So even if there were earthworms in the area prior to the glaciers, they would have been destroyed. When the glaciers receded and the forest and the vegetation grew back, well, for the last 11,000-plus years, these forests, and the way they developed, they used fungi and bacteria to decompose the dead organic material. And this happens very slowly. And so when a piece of nutrients becomes available, it's able to be taken up right away with the plant. Well, when you introduce earthworms into these systems, earthworms do their job, and they do it very well. So they greatly speed up this nutrient cycling. And what happens is you end up getting a net loss of nutrients out of the system, and these forests are starting to see what they've coined forest decline syndromes, where there's these secondary cascading effects that are happening to the forest.
Can you share with us like some examples of the secondary effects?
Sure. Some secondary effects are when the earthworms come through, they completely eat this, it's called a duff layer. So after, hundreds and thousands of years of this organic material building on the forest floor, it can get pretty thick, and it's just a thick mat of organic material. And as the earthworms come through, they consume and relocate that into the soil profile, so they are completely altering the soil chemistry and the soil profile. And as they do this, this has secondary effects on the rooting systems for native plants. It also has secondary effects on the rooting systems for example, sugar maple seedlings. They use that duff layer to germinate the seed, and that's also to protect it from predation. And when that's gone, when that duff layer is gone, the soil gets warmer, it gets drier, there's bigger fluctuations in moisture and heat, because that duff layer acts as a mulch.
Okay.
We're also seeing effects on small mammals and forest birds. Research that just was done was done on oven birds. And oven birds are a ground nesting bird, and when the forest floor is, in its native state where it's thick and healthy, you really can't see their nest. But after earthworms come through and you see an area that's been heavily invaded, their nest just sticks out.
Okay.
And so there's high predation rates and death rates on those nests.
Can you tell us what should gardeners know about composting and earthworms?
A distinction to make is, there's a difference between the forested ecosystems in the Great Lakes region and a garden or agricultural ecosystem. A garden or agricultural ecosystem is a created ecosystem and environment. And that is where, everything we've ever heard about earthworms, that's true. They do break down, the organic material to make it easier for plants to use it. They also aerate the soil in that. So when it comes to using earthworms for gardening and that, in this area, especially if you're butted up to a nice forested area, you wouldn't want to intentionally introduce earthworms. If they were there already, because once earthworms are established, they are established.
Okay.
And so and we do know that there's still areas of earthworm-free forests that, still have an opportunity to protect and keep earthworm-free. So what people can do is you just want to be very cautious that you're not taking your soil out of your garden and dumping it into your forested area where you could be relocating the earthworm species.
And you're the program coordinator with the Great Lakes Worm Watch. What is that program?
So we are an outreach and education-based organization, and we are looking at the distribution of earthworms across the Great Lakes region. Because, as I said, we know that there's areas that are earthworm-free, and we are trying to document and see what species we have where. Because just because you have a couple species of earthworms in a forested area doesn't mean you're going to be seeing these really detrimental effects. There's three ecological groups for earthworms, and all three have different feeding and burrowing habits. And it's when you get all three together that you see these really negative effects. So we're trying to locate where they are across the landscape, but we do that through using citizen science. And we have citizens, whether it's K-12, general public, non-formal, formal settings, nature centers. We have people help us collect data. Because me, by myself, I can't, get across the Great Lakes and get this data collected.
Right.
So through the program, hopefully we're introducing people to scientific concepts, how to go about setting up a scientific design and study. And we really work with people they can do it on all levels. Ultimately, we want to know a location and if there were worms there. I mean, that's the minimum amount of data. But then we can help people set up full-on designs where, they're finding out what the average biomass is on their land, and they can find out what exact species they have and in what composition. And so it's a wide range of things that people can do. And so what we're trying to do is we're trying to gather this data and to have it more of like a earthworm data warehouse where people, other researchers, can come to us and see, the data that we have, and they can use that as baseline data for their studies.
Okay. Well, we've been speaking with Ryan Huffmeyer of UMD's Natural Resources Research Institute, and he's the program coordinator with Great Lakes Worm Watch. Is there anything else that you'd like to add, Ryan?
If people are interested in getting out into the woods and doing some surveys, this even just in their on their own property, that they don't have to go out into the woods. They can do it in a city. They can do it in a city park. They can do it anywhere if they're interested. They can just get a hold of us through the website.
Great. So again, to learn more about invasive earthworms and how to prevent their spread, go to greatlakeswormwatch.org. Well, thanks so much for joining us today, Ryan. We appreciate it.
I thank you for the time.